Welcome back to the List Night podcast. We are back yet again this week. We're going to be changing up the format a little bit. My name is Griffin Queen. As always, I'm the host of this miraculous, magical, fantastic podcast that nobody listens to, which we were just talking about before we started this recording. So if you are listening to the pod right now, share it with your friends. Tell people about it. Maybe you'll like this episode. Maybe you won't. Share with them regardless. As always, I'm joined by Thomas Albert, Andrew Simon, the guys that are the real humor, the real talent, the real quality behind List Night. I'm just here to host and to give my picks and to honestly win more often than not. But I really feel like a lot of those wins aren't fully deserved and maybe some burners are involved. Who's to say? If you're new to List Night, here's kind of how it works. Normally, we'll have one of us do five picks on whatever topic we're talking about. Then the next person will do five picks, and then the final person will do five picks. This week, however, we are going to be changing it up a little bit. We're going to have Andrew start, and he's going to do one pick, and then Thomas will give a pick. Finally, I will give a pick. And rather than snaking back like you would in a draft, Andrew is then going to give his second pick, which is number four on his list. Thomas will give his second pick. I will give my second pick, and so on and so forth until we all have five picks. Just to clarify, this is not a draft. We can have the same picks as each other. I don't really think that's going to happen just because of the topic that we're doing this week and the amount of possibility there is out there, but it could happen. We could have similar lists. We'll see how it goes. This week, we're doing sequels. Andrew, Thomas, thoughts on the topic before we get going? This is our second recording in a week, I think, yep. In a week and a half. So we're doing a lot better than we were throughout the summer.
Yeah, we're doing well. Like you said, nobody listens. So I think this format change is going to be the thing that really brings people in, because I think the problem is that people get tired of listening to each one of us individually for too long. So by breaking it up and having us take turns, people will still hate it.
Yeah, because we definitely don't interrupt each other during the regular format.
We're very well behaved. I never
interrupt. I'll say this about sequels. The sequel I'm most excited for is the sequel to List Night, and I can't wait for this to end and that to begin, whatever that is.
So you do think that sequel will be better than technically this is the sequel to the original, yeah. List Night, is it not?
So what I think will happen is when we finally stop doing this, because it just fizzles out in, yeah, 2.5 years, in 10 years, we'll come back to whatever the new podcast is. Like, maybe it's just like direct download. I don't know.
It's AM radio, dude. It's AM radio. AM radio is
making coming back around.
AM radio. Coming back around. You heard it here first.
and probably last. I don't know if anybody else is as high on AM radio as we are.
We'll probably bring it up again.
Yeah. No, it'd be excellent if this was the episode that kind of, you know, shot us to the moon. I think, what is this, episode 30? 31, something like that?
I think this is 30.
I think this is 30. I think that's true.
Unless we
this
just recorded 30
and, or 31. Maybe, yeah, we just did 30.
I don't know.
But we, you also know, have draft days, and we've got quick lists, and we used to do a thing called collab lists, which we did like twice. Episode one had three lists that we did in the same episode.
That was insane.
That was crazy. That was like a 3-hour recording.
It was an insane concept of us to be like, you know what? Let's just talk for 4 hours.
But, you know, honestly, I think that episode was long. It was like close to 2 hours. But then we've also had episodes that are close to that, just doing one topic. Because, yeah, I think what happened was like, oh, we'll just do one at a time. People want to listen to quick episodes. So we have a little bit more time to like talk, sure, a little bit more. And then we talk way too much. And then, yeah, we're back up to where we started.
Way too much.
I'd love to say that it's also that like our banter prior to the list has improved and we've gone for longer and stuff like that, because we have so many interesting things going on in our lives. But as most people know, we don't fuck with people. We don't go outside. This is kind of the most exciting part of my week. And you can probably see it on my face and hear it in my voice. So that's sad.
It's kind of like when we all get together, like we do the same thing for an hour and then someone says power hour and we do it. I mean, things don't change. We don't get better. We just repeat.
Shit don't change. Fantastic. All right. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we're doing sequels this week. I mentioned Andrew's going to go first, then Thomas, then myself. Before we get into it, if you have not done so already and you're watching on YouTube, if you have not subscribed already, please subscribe. I want to see that number go up. If you have not clicked the like button, please click it. It takes 1 second, whether you're on your phone, your tablet, your computer. Those are kind of the three options. I don't think there's any other options potential. Click the like button, tap the like button, touch the like button, you know, tongue the like button. I don't really care. Andrew's pretty uncomfortable with where that went. I'm uncomfortable with the fact that I said it. If you are listening to us on an audio platform, whether it's Spotify or Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or anything like that, click the follow button if you have not done so already. If you haven't rated and reviewed us and you do enjoy the show, please do so. Preferably 5 stars. Like I always say, if you're not going to give us 5 stars, don't rate us and don't review us. What was that, Thomas?
I say, if you're not going to give us 5 stars, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that is usually how I am, that I do tell people Siri, to go fuck
stop
themselves.
Stop listening.
It's a really good way to increase our fan base, is telling the people that think we're 4 out of 5 stars to go fuck themselves. But yeah, you know, support the pod if you're enjoying it. We don't ask for any money. We don't really have that many ads. We have one ad just promoting the pod in the middle of the pod. Share it with your friends. Coolest thing you could do. Tell people about it if you enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, go fuck yourselves. All right, we're doing sequels. This is the sequel to the initial list night, which used to be on Facebook. We're going to have Andrew start.
Yeah, it's like a meta sequels list. Okay, so let's just jump into it. My number 5 is Shrek 2.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, getting the group vote so quickly.
I'm getting a banger on the list right away. Shrek 2. Can't go wrong with it. Love the Shrek franchise. And by the Shrek franchise, I just mean 1 and 2. I don't know if I've ever seen 3 or 4, or is there 5? I don't know.
It's Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots, haven't seen it.
And maybe a second Puss in Boots, I'm not sure.
But what I know is that Shrek and Shrek 2 are both great. I actually like Shrek more than Shrek 2, but Shrek 2 is still good enough to make my sequels list. It brings in, you know, the in-laws, Fiona's parents. It brings in the big gingerbread man, who's Gingy, who's a fantastic character.
Who's Gingy?
Isn't that his name? I think
his name is the gingerbread man, isn't it?
No, the little guy's the gingerbread man. I'm talking about the big one.
Oh.
I think his name is, or at least that's what they call him.
Anyway,
scene where he like breaks down the castle walls.
Yeah.
And then he falls down. Yeah. Oh my God.
Pour hot milk on him.
Yeah. Epic.
So are we going to like talk about this, or should I just say, should we all say our number 5s and then we talk about them?
No, let's talk about it. I want to talk about it. Okay. That'd be a crazy way to do it.
Shrek 2, also amazing GameCube game. You wouldn't expect it. You wouldn't. Shrek 2 had a great GameCube game. Fantastic. Wonderful movie. I agree, not better than the first, but that's not what this is about. It's just about good sequels. Great pick. Big fan.
Yeah.
You used to watch it in 7th grade art class all the time.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen it in a long time.
That's why you're so terrible at art.
Yeah, that's why he's so terrible at art. Definitely. This came up recently because Matt Ferrantino was at the bar or at a party or something like that, and I guess people were arguing between which was better, Shrek 1 and Shrek 2. And I think everybody exclusively, with the exception of Matt, said Shrek 2, which I think is a crazy take. It's a good sequel. I'm not going to say it's a bad sequel. I think it's, I mean, I guess because this is your number 5 pick, it's not like this is your top pick. It's fine. It's a fine number 5 pick. I would not have thought of it, though. You are going to get a lot of support from people in our friend group, though, who brush their teeth to Shrek. And I think you knew that when you made this pick.
I cannot confirm nor deny. I am not corrupt in any way.
I can confirm. You thought that.
I do not let outside influences influence my list.
I mean, should. This is a
voting. You probably should. Yeah.
If we had some sort of award, like I would, we don't. There's no award. But if we
don't have awards, rewards, anything.
We don't even have like a trophy that we pass between each other.
We should get a trophy. We should have a punishment every week is what we should have. The only punishment that we said we were going to do was you having to watch all of your DCOMs that you've never done, Disney Channel original movies.
Do you know what a time commitment it is to watch 5 Disney Channel original movies?
Honestly,
it's not that long. They're pretty short.
But they're your 5 favorite ones. They're your 5 favorite ones. So you,
yeah, I know.
You should be able to.
They did not age well.
If I have a point sometime, maybe when I'm home in the DMV in December, cold days, don't have anything to do. Maybe I'll watch all five DCOMs and I'm all live tweeted for our seven fans. I'm really down on us this episode. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I love List Night and I love that people love List Night. I don't know where this is coming from.
On to my number five. It's we should have done a draft because it's Shrek 2. So pretty upset, not gonna lie.
Is that why you had the GameCube game on the top of your mind?
No, but that's why I was like, should we all say our fives and then talk about it? Because mine's the same.
Wow. Are you just gonna take my picks every single time?
You guys grew up together.
You just didn't write a list.
I'm gonna guarantee no, but that was the one. There's three on my list where I was like, maybe.
But if we had done a draft, you wouldn't have even. I would have picked it number one overall. So no, that's a lie.
That's absolutely not true. If your number one overall pick for a sequels draft is Shrek 2, you need to consume more media.
True.
I need to consume less media.
That's also true. You need to create less media.
True.
We're ending on 31 episodes.
Sorry, Thomas, do you have anything else to say about Shrek 2
that hasn't already been said? Talk about your pick.
I don't.
Okay.
What's your favorite moment in Shrek 2?
It's probably the same.
You guys did this to me in an early episode. You said, Griffin, what's your favorite moment in Shrek? And I stumbled over it. And I eventually said, when they're storming the castle, and you guys were like, that's stupid. That's a stupid pick. Now it's on you, Thomas. What's your favorite moment in Shrek 2?
It's when Gingy is falling into the moat and Gingerbread Man has to be scooped up off him because he's going to go down with his brother.
I'm glad we have two of the same person on this podcast.
No, it's a solid movie.
Yeah, it is a solid movie. I cannot take that away.
It's a solid number five sequel. And Griffin, if you don't have it as your number five, then you're off the podcast.
Get down.
If I'm off the podcast, I don't know what I'm going to turn to. Maybe my NBA podcast that you can find on YouTube by going to the Give and Go Show.
If you were off the podcast, I think Thomas and I could just play like a recording of you berating the fans for not subscribing enough before we started, like before we jumped in.
And then we can just start talking.
Yeah.
I imagine, I don't think there's anything unique that I've said since episode like six. So yeah. There's a lot of audio recordings. You guys could have an entire soundboard of me just being an asshole.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm an asshole, Star Wars, my dad left. Like, it's just the same three things.
Those are my big three. That's crazy that you would know that.
Oh, and coffee.
Coffee too. Coffee.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your number five, Griffin?
Well, now I don't want to tell you. Number five on my list. And before I get into it, I just want to talk about what a sequel is.
Oh, fuck you. Get into it.
According to the Oxford Dictionary,
Quote the Webster's Dictionary if you're going to quote a dictionary.
I don't know why I brought up Oxford, but I'm not going to go find Webster's at this point. The Oxford Dictionary says that a sequel is either a published, broadcast, or recorded work that continues the story or develops the theme of an earlier one, such as the sequel to Home Alone, or something that takes place after or as a result of an earlier event. I'm telling you that definition because I want to, and because it may, you know, be necessary later when I say things that you guys might not necessarily look at as sequels. Number five on my list from the guy who's an asshole, misses his dad, and loves Star Wars is Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
To the surprise of no one.
Would you like to talk about Empire Strikes Back?
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of like real big father-son moments in Empire Strikes Back, particularly when he gets his hand cut off. No,
Were you hyped up on caffeine when you were watching it?
I was. All right. Stop putting me in a box. I
stop
have
sitting in a box, you fucking cat.
That's true. I could stand. In reality, Empire Strikes Back is kind of, I don't want to say the definitive sequel, but whenever you're talking about sequels, particularly if they have a darker tone than the original film or book or whatever it is, people always refer to it as the Empire Strikes Back follow-up. So outside of just how good of a movie it is a cultural touch point for like what a sequel can be when you're going in a different direction. And I think it's just, I mean, it's obviously just a hugely important movie. One of my favorite movies. But yes, I'm the Star Wars guy and I'm the guy with daddy issues, and Empire Strikes Back really hits both of those very clearly.
Empire Strikes Back gets you, and you get it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't even talk about Star Wars, and I'm so tired of talking about Star Wars. Like, not you, just like the world in general. So beyond over Star Wars.
I'm fully in agreement with just the constant Disney Plus, fucking 1,000 TV shows.
Same thing they're doing with Marvel.
The whole thing, like the fucking year-long saga with Gina Carano. Like, it's just do less. Just make good shit and put it out and talk less about it. I don't know.
Honestly,
Empire Strikes Back came out in like 1981. So that's not recent.
If they took the money they're putting into Star Wars and put into List Night,
we could do much less with so much more.
We would probably be a not good podcast.
We'd probably still record like once every 2 months.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got to pay us more if they want more frequency.
Yeah.
Not a surprising pick. Yes, you're right. It's essentially the definitive sequel of sequels.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good. It's very good. I don't have much to say about it, but it's very good. Good job, Griffin. You've earned a star.
Okay.
Are you trying to be my dad?
Yeah, I got the same vibe, and I'm super uncomfortable.
You just seem very ragey today, and it feels like you need
scared.
Yeah, I don't feel ragey. I mean, I feel I'm energetic. I'm high right now. Not like actually high, but you're I'm on one
on caffeine.
Yeah. I feel like Andrew's just trying to give you a candy bar, so like when you do come in, like you don't kill him.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
I mean, I wouldn't anyways. Andrew, let's circle back to you for your number four pick. Thomas, let's talk after the pod. My God.
Talk about my number four here. So I'm not going to give you the Oxford definition, but I will say that I have a couple non-movies on my list. And my number four is the video game Pokemon Gold and Silver. I mean, they're the same game. They're the same game.
That's the wrong choice, but fine.
I don't care. You can't see color. What does it matter to you?
One of them has Lugia on it and the other has Ho-Oh. I mean, come on.
Anyway, I think we've talked about Pokemon Gold and Silver before. We've definitely talked about Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. Those are my favorite games. The sequels are great because you can basically play both games in one game and they add 100 more Pokemon. And I feel like we've definitely talked about this before, but it's the best plot twist in video game history at the end when you have to fight yourself from Red and Blue as like the final boss. That's ahead of its time.
I mean, really good.
I never had.
Would you consider Yellow a sequel, or would you consider Gold and Silver the first sequels?
I consider
a sequel.
Yeah, I consider Gold and Silver a sequel. Yellow's just like a
reboot. Yellow's a reboot.
Yeah,
because it's the same thing.
Sure,
just or with Pikachu.
A reimagining.
It's a parallel. Yeah, it's a parallel story.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, great pick, man.
I never had.
You're the Pokemon guy,
but it's Pokemon, so I get it.
Yeah, just like I'm the Star Wars guy. You're the Pokemon guy.
Yeah, and I really just am the Pokemon guy for the first generation, but I appreciate Generation 2, and I feel like. It's kind of been confirmed that Gold and Silver are basically what they wanted the original games to be, to like all whatever 16 gym leaders or whatever. It was just like, it was kind of like Red and Blue were kind of rushed out and still were fantastic games, but like Gold and Silver was like supposed to be the entire like first generation that ended up being split into two. So I just think they're very good games and very good sequels.
Do you think Pokemon would have been what Pokemon was if the first two games were Gold and Silver, or is it better that it was a shorter, tighter experience initially that they could then turn into basically like a double game later?
I think it was better that it was shorter, especially because when we were kids, like they drilled the names of the 150 Pokemon in our head with like the poker app and like all the merchandise and the trading card game and the video game and the TV show and like, and all that. So like we had them all memorized, and if you get up to 250, that gets to a point where it's like, it might be kind of hard for kids to memorize and actually like, you know, they have the catch 'em all tagline, but like, what does that really mean when it's a number that's essentially unattainable, you know, 250, whereas 150 somehow like seems more attainable.
It's like, I'm sorry, I'm literally watching Ace just take apart my bed pillow by pillow. Oh, you comfy now? You little asshole.
Meanwhile, if you're watching the YouTube video right now, you'll see me with my phone out because Vino is just watching us record this podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's like they knew that our entire generation was going to not be able to pay attention to anything. And so they gave us a shorter game, which for me was perfect because I lose interest in video games if I don't beat them early because I stop caring. So
the way you said that was really, really staccato.
Speaking of how short the game is,
yeah,
Pokemon Red speedruns under 2 hours.
Pokemon Red speedruns. Yep. You are the Pokemon guy. And you did introduce those to my life. Yeah, I think that's a really good pick. I like your number 4 pick better than your number 5 pick, without a doubt.
Honestly, me too. Spoiler, I don't have any video games on mine. Really didn't think about video games. But like I could have, like NFL Street 2 should have been on there. That's on me. So good pick. I like it.
Thank you.
So my number 4, I had to do a Batman movie. Now everyone's gonna be like, oh, Dark Knight. No, fuck you. We'll go Batman and Robin with George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell.
Because what?
You don't have a better bad Batman movie. There is no better bad Batman movie. Because in this movie, George Clooney whips out a bat credit card. And if you don't enjoy that, you can go fuck yourself with your 4-star reviews. All right?
Is thanks for just reiterating the 4-star reviews can go fuck themselves. Is Batman and Robin the one with the bat nipples as well? And the one where they go through the window and it makes the shape of the bat symbol? Yep.
And then they click their feet together and they're
ice and they blades. Have bad ice skates.
Yep.
God, I've not seen
every
this
word
movie
that
so
I just
long.
Said yep. should only exist in a fever dream. it's a real movie that we have all watched.
George fucking Clooney, Uma Thurman, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. I'm here. Oh, and what's her face from? Oh crap! What's her name? Silverstone. Alicia
Silverstone.
Yeah. I mean,
almost said Michelle Pfeiffer, but that's earlier.
I almost put Batman Returns, but it is the best bad movie, not even Batman movie, best bad movie, and I will never not love it.
Yeah. Okay. Even when you describe it, it's like the cast and
it's insane
and plot. It just sounds like an SNL skit or something.
It's just insane.
It's like they actively went out of their way to make a bad movie with a bunch of people who were either former or current Oscar nominees.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make sense. You look at the cast list, you look at the people that were like involved in the production. You're like, how is this not the best Batman movie ever?
Right.
And in every single way, it's not the best Batman movie ever. Although I will say, as a kid, it probably had the dopest toys. There was a lot of toys that came out of that movie. I mean, all of them, but that one in particular. Because now they could include Robin and they had a bunch of different like bat vehicles and shit like that.
Yeah. And like, don't get me wrong,
the bat merchandising when we were kids was out of this world.
It's weird that in the previous movie, he adopts like a 18-year-old man. And then it's even weirder that in the next movie, that 18 to 20-year-old man is still living and working with him. But yeah,
well, it's because
that's not weird.
They fucking.
They fucking.
Why you gotta ruin an already bad movie?
I'm not the person that came up with that theory.
Everyone should go watch this movie.
Okay.
And that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Really weird direction to go in.
So very bad. Weird pick. Very weird pick.
I fully understand why you don't win that often.
On brand for you.
I'm pretty sure my next birthday party, the big 3-0, is just gonna be watching this movie at least 3 times.
And I love how you like even prefaced it by saying like everyone's thinking Dark Knight, should have gone with Dark Knight right there. would have been a fantastic pick.
I gotta say, before you guys went on the whole thing about me, my love of Star Wars and my daddy issues and all that, my number 5 pick was the Dark Knight. It was like a 5A, 5B, and that's what got me to determine which one I really wanted. I don't think there's a wrong choice between those two, but between those two and Batman and Robin, there is very much a wrong choice.
So Dark Knight was on my long list for the draft. Before I thought about like third and fourth movies, Batman Returns was my number four. That's with Michelle Pfeiffer, Danny DeVito.
Right.
Great fucking movie. But I mean, there's just something about Batman and Robin that just
gets you.
It gets me.
Yeah. All right.
It's your Empire Strikes Back.
It's my Empire. Honestly, culturally, it's pretty much on the same level. So
I am. You talking about me being angry this episode? You're going to get me there. You're going to get me there. Which brings me to my next pick. Thus far, for the viewers at home, we have a video game series, we have a bad sequel movie, and for my number four pick, we're going to go with a world war. I'm going with World War II, the way that America became back-to-back champs, the kind of triggering event that led to America becoming like the greatest imperial presence of the past century. You know, were there some downsides to World War II? Sure, it wasn't great for most, if not all people. But we made it out, and it is, without a doubt, the more renowned of the two wars. If you name your first war the Great War, and no one considers it the Great War after the sequel comes out, you know the sequel was better.
So I thought Batman and Robin was going to be the pick that made everyone uncomfortable. But I feel like this is it. This is it.
Griffin, let me put it this way. Your pick makes me want there to be another sequel. It makes me want them to complete the trilogy with this
one. God damn. I'm going to be on the Franz Ferdinand of World. I guess Franz Ferdinand is the Franz Ferdinand of World Wars. But I'm the triggering
of World War III. You will be.
A lot of people thought Russia. A lot of people thought North Korea. Nobody thought a douchebag 30-year-old in Los Angeles.
Like,
unless they were thinking maybe one of the Paul brothers.
This is a funny take on the word sequel, I guess.
It's minus, got two in the name.
I don't know if I'd say funny.
No, not funny. Like, I understand what you're saying.
Deranged. Like, deranged is the word you're looking for.
Like, the Allies won and all, but everyone died. And a lot of like
not great, everyone,
a lot of great technology and economic stimulus like eventually came of the war and all that, but again, everyone died.
I feel like it's really uneducated for you to say everyone died.
I get what you're saying. I just feel wrong hearing.
What was your favorite part of the war? What is your job in the war?
Victory in Europe Day, VE Day, May 8th. Also, coincidentally, my birthday.
Again,
my favorite part of World War II was my eventual birthday.
I guess you're looking at it like glass half full. I feel wrong for knowing you.
Yeah.
You're not the first person to say that to me, if we're being fully honest. It's been coming in a lot of different contexts.
I'm not going to say good pick.
You can say
I'm just going to say let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. World War II gets you. It's your Empire Strikes Back. Okay. my number three has already been
follow mentioned. That one up, Andrew.
I will. It's way better than World War II. My number three.
Who are you asking?
Has already been mentioned, and it is NFL Street 2. Yes, I have two video games on my list, and yes, it's two of my favorite video games. NFL Street 2. Introduced Game Breaker 2s into the NFL Street franchise, and it included some great mini games like Crush the Carrier and Jump Ball Battle and Open Field Showdown. And then, best of all, you could jump and run off walls, which is just one of the coolest things in any sports video game.
A highly renowned part of the NFL is being able to run off walls.
It would be if they had walls.
If they were if they were more street, it would be.
Yeah, they're more street.
I really enjoyed that you've got two video games on your list, despite kind of being renowned as like the not video game guy.
I am not a video game guy.
When COVID started and when quarantine started and you started getting into video games again, I remember both of our significant others talking about how they didn't think that we were video game guys. And two of your three picks so far are video games.
here's what I'm thinking. We should do video game lists, and I'm absolute positive Andrew and I would not pick a game made after 2008.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think you would, Griffin.
No, I don't know if I would.
Eight's even
pushing. I don't think
it.
I would.
Eight.
What
eight
year? What year did Super Smash Brothers Melee come out? 2001
Or one. Yeah.
Early
2000s. That's probably the time range that I'm ending in.
Yeah. I mean, we could do that list, but I feel like I've already probably discussed every single pick of mine that would be on that list.
NFL Street 2, probably my second favorite sports game. Definitely my favorite, second favorite football game behind Blitz. So I am, and like I said, this should have been on my list. So in full support. Yeah. If you have Batman and Robin on your list, you're going to get my vote.
Sure.
We'll see.
Yeah. I don't really have any pushback on this. I got to be honest. I never played NFL Street. Like seriously, like I probably played a few games of it.
I your childhood makes me so sad.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, it kind of makes me a little sad. So, you know, a little bit of column A. I mean, like I played like the Madden games and all that. And I played, what is it? Was it NBA also called Street or was it called something else?
NBA Street. Yeah.
NBA Street. Yeah, I played NBA
also
Street.
Great games.
Yeah, yeah. NBA Street I liked a lot.
First
I just don't,
than the second
for whatever one. Reason, I guess I just never played NFL Street until I was probably like this current age. I think I probably played it for the first time maybe with 3 years ago at the beach with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
As grown-ass men.
It was very much a staple game for Flower Hill, the little Flower Hill group, for sure.
Sure. Yeah, those of us in Mill Creek were busier talking about like our investment strategies and,
where we all are now.
Our vacation homes.
Yeah, how's that?
Look where we all are now.
Yeah.
We're in the exact same place.
Yeah, you're.
Yes.
Your life has taken a tumble, and Thomas and I are still playing NFL Street 2.
But it had a higher peak.
We played it.
Peaking.
The thing I love about games, like especially sports games from that era, is that they only recorded like so many audio clips for the players to like say. So at the end of every game, they'd say the same shit. And
that's what you loved about that era of games.
It's just funny. Yes.
People get angry in modern games when there's like less than 100,000 voice lines. They're like, I played for 130 hours and I heard somebody repeat something. Those people are insane, just to be clear.
The reason I don't like current sports games is they're too realistic. I don't want that. I want Jeremy Shockey to be the best player in the game running off of walls and catching balls. Why is that not part of games anymore?
I mean, if that was just part of the NFL, I would watch the NFL more frequently.
And here's the crazy thing. We haven't even mentioned how good the soundtrack is.
Oh my God. Phenomenal. So good. Exhibits in the game.
Don't all sports games have pretty incredible soundtracks?
Yeah. Not like this.
All right.
Yes. All sports games usually have pretty great soundtracks.
But it's like kind of all they've got going for them is great soundtracks and like pay to win shit.
I feel like this was peak Pimp My Ride too. So like Exhibit was on top of the world.
If it wasn't peak Pimp My Ride, there's no way he would have any video game.
How they got him, I don't know. I still don't know.
I think at that point he was making as much money as he could.
Thomas.
Good for him.
Thomas. Man, they are not that good.
You're not that good.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Good game.
I'll let this proceed because I really have nothing else to give on this.
You know what? I honestly didn't have a lot of faith for Andrew following up World War II, but you saved us. My three is another animated movie. It's Toy Story 2. I was found it very impressive that Toy Story, which is just like such a beloved and phenomenal movie, had such a good sequel. I mean, not better, but beloved and phenomenal as well. Like, I mean, it's very impressive to me that a Toy Story that never needed a sequel made a good sequel. So that's it.
I thought you were going Griffin. No, I love Toy Story 2. I love the first one more again, but it's a good movie. They Toy Story hit on every single one that they've released. 2, 3, and 4 are all very good.
Never saw 4.
There's 4 of them.
Griffin never saw 2 from his face. I can tell.
I never saw 3 or 4. I have seen 2. I don't think I've seen two since it was in theaters, though. So, again,
I mean, I'm not watching it regularly.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen the first one. I saw the first one a lot when I was a kid. I just don't think I ever owned two. I feel like two came out when we were, like, was two probably around the start of, like, DVDs instead of, like, VHSs?
I would think so.
I definitely remember having it on VHS, but I do think it was kind of in the transition time.
Yeah.
That was around the time that I stopped like buying stuff and we stopped like just having physical media in the house. I guess I probably could watch it on like Disney Plus or whatever now. It's just been a really long time since I've seen it. I remember liking it. Big Zurg guy, saw Lightyear in theaters pretty recently, liked it a lot, thought it was a fun movie. I think it was, you know, not the greatest Pixar has ever done, but maybe Toy Story 2 was, and I've just completely lost track of that entirely.
I mean, again, like, Toy Story 2 is not on my list of best movies ever, but...
Sure.
It's impressive how they took... I feel like it was the first... I don't want to say that. It's the first sequel, like, animated sequel I can remember that was like, oh man, like they expanded on Woody, they expanded on Buzz, like they introduced new characters. Like it was Andy still sucks as an owner, but
I think it's generally on lists of like perfect sequels because it's more of that universe without being bad in any sort of way. I just don't remember it that well. I remember like the prospector guy who ended up being a villain.
Stinky Pete,
yeah. There's a snake in my boot from the first one or the second one?
That it's both. It's from Woody's string. That's what he says.
Yeah, that goes through my head a weird amount. Like one of those like random phrases that gets caught in your head for 30 years. That's in my head. I don't know why.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, mine are all from the NFL Street 2 clips. But yeah,
that's very
clear. Yeah. That's awesome. Like you're like school on Saturday.
No class.
I am getting angry.
Now you
want to play. I don't know any of these references.
Now you want to play. Toy Story 2, just a solid follow-up to Toy Story.
Yeah, last thing I'll say on it, like I don't honestly remember the plot that much, but I also feel like Toy Story 2 was big for Pixar to like continue to establish itself as like a legitimate animated production studio. Like obviously Toy Story had already come out, I think A Bug's Life had already come out, but Toy Story 2 was like one of the first Pixar movies, and like just the fact that they were able to like establish like a real franchise that they could keep building upon was big.
Absolutely, for sure. For show.
That sounded so dismissive.
No, I just I've been told I sound very sarcastic when I don't mean to, but no, Andrew's right. It was a really good pick and I think it deserves all the votes.
Sure. Maybe it'll get some votes. All right, yeah, Probably Toy not. Story 2. So we had Toy Story 2, and then Andrew, you had not World War II. Something that wasn't World War II.
And NFL Street 2.
NFL Street 2, yeah. Okay, so for my...
Commonly mixed up with World War II.
Well, you know, at least once it's been mixed up with those two things. My number three pick is the New Testament. So again, going in a pretty different direction from these two guys. Me personally, I gotta say, not the biggest fan of the New Testament. Feel like kind of much like World War II, not super great for my people. Both pretty not great things for the Jewish people. I gotta admit it. I gotta say it. But one of the most definitive, maybe the most definitive book in the history of mankind, I guess we'll call it a book. Most definitive principles, I don't know. Jesus, cool guy. Christians, but the New Testament, pretty big deal.
Your list sucks.
I feel like this is not the first time you've thrown the Bible.
It's not.
Onto lists. And are you like trying to, is this like your, I know this is your therapy, but is it also like your church? Like, is this your, where you come to ask for forgiveness?
No, Griffin, absolutely not. Griffin, I would never throws, ask for forgiveness.
Griffin throws the Bible in our face more than those people on college campuses do. Just throwing them at you to put in your back.
Yeah, more than random like every other drivers do too.
He's like, have you guys heard of the New Testament? Jesus is cool.
Yeah.
You know what made me
cool? Are you a Mormon now?
He didn't even drink.
Jehovah's Witness.
You know what made me think of the New Testament and put it on my list? It was not initially on my list until a few minutes before this. And then I was like, wow, I actually really like that pick. I saw somebody on Facebook that posted a YouTube video. And the YouTube video was entitled Seven Reasons Christianity is the Only True Religion. And his caption was, Christianity is the one true faith that all the other religions can't come close to. And I said, man, I mean, I guess if somebody's this confident about it, it must be pretty good. It's got to make it onto my list.
How can it be better? Like, it's one God.
New Testament, like, God, I will say, this genuine belief, not that I genuinely believe in God, but New Testament God versus Old Testament God, it's not even a competition. Old Testament God is a dickhead.
Way nicer guy.
Yeah. New Testament God, the fucking man.
Yeah, but if we're doing like celebrity deathmatch of gods, like my money's on the Olympians.
But this wasn't which sequels would kill their originators. So it was just sequels.
It is in my head.
Griffin, you're touching on what my criticism of this pick was going to be, is that I don't think the New Testament is true to its source material, because God just does like a 180 as a character arc. He's just like not the same guy. It's just,
I feel like there was a lot of development during the relatively short period in between those books being written.
I don't know. Like,
what there was happened? A lot of off screen character development. Luke goes away at the end of episode 6 and you think, oh my God, he's going to like lead the Jedi and be like the coolest guy in the universe. And then he comes back in episode 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever the fuck it was. Cause those movies weren't that good. Black. And he was already wearing black, but he's like a weird hermit who like doesn't like the Force. Sometimes character arcs don't happen on screen.
So we need the middle. We need the middle Testament. Or just the Testament, so that we can.
I think it would just be Testament.
Yeah, we need that. So what change of heart God had that he's, you know, as compassionate as he becomes.
I think that's on us to write
because
under different names though, because I just
Andrew,
I just don't feel like the Jewish people could take that happening again.
What changed him?
Mary.
He did have a kid. That changes people, I guess. But I don't know.
Look at Mika.
He's still the same piece of shit.
He's the exact same person. He has not changed. I would argue that he's regressed.
See, you know what I don't like is that Griffin's picks are so bad that Andrew follows up and his picks just look better.
What do you not like about that? Oh, because you're not following me?
Yes.
Yeah. It's weird that you guys always feel this way considering how often I win. I just don't think you're in tune with the people. I think a good Christian is in tune with the people.
It's not about winning. It's about disliking you.
Oh, okay. That's
worse.
That's worse for me.
If you like Resurrections, boy, are you going to like my number two? Two Towers.
Fuck yeah, that's a great pick.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Two Towers is my number two. I think it's just, I can't, you know, I just did a rewatch on Iceland Air on the way back from the way to and back from Iceland of all three.
Big flex, somebody travels.
And, oh yeah, and I might need to reevaluate where I would place the three movies, like my ranking for the three of them. But what I will say is that Two Towers is a borderline perfect movie. It especially as like a middle step movie. Resurrections, Gandalf comes back. I like Gollum's like character build as he's going with Frodo and Sam and Sméagol, I mean, obviously the battle of Helm's Deep is just an all time scene in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a fun movie. It's a epic movie, and it gets you like super excited for the trilogy, for the rest of the trilogy. So that's all you can ask for in a sequel, I think.
You could even argue a second resurrection in that film when Aragorn goes off the edge during the battle with the Warg and the Warg Riders, and they all think he's dead. And then he's dripping water and coming out, and he fucking pushes those doors open. And a lot of people, myself included, discovered themselves.
Be a resurrection.
Kind of.
Okay, Jesus.
If you don't see somebody, they're dead.
For 3 days. No, Two Towers is one that I was on my list for a long time, and I had no doubt that was going to be on someone's list and would have been highly contested in the draft. It is I like to say it's my favorite of the three, but you're right. It's very hard to rank those because they're all so good.
As we remember from my first list ever, I treat them all as one movie. I put them all as my, as non.
You're a cheater.
It was a cheater. It was first on my list when we were thinking about doing this as a draft. It was first on my list of backups if I couldn't get my five picks. So yeah, it's absolutely on my short list. It's a fantastic film. I think it's the most entertaining of the three, and I think Fellowship is the best. But Return of the King won all the awards because it was like a overarching achievement.
Thing. Right.
But
right.
But I think the one that I'm most likely to rewatch is Two Towers, just for the war scenes are incredible.
I think Two Towers is the easiest watch.
Probably.
Just in terms of pace.
Yeah.
I think it's just
it's pretty constant ramp up.
Yeah, exactly. There's not much drag in it.
Yeah.
Like there are in the other two. Not that that's a bad thing, but that's just Two Towers. If you're going to sit down and just put one on, it's going to be Two Towers.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. You're not doing the first hour in the Shire and then visiting Elrond and all that other stuff before you get into it. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Great pick, Andrew. Maybe one of the top 10 picks we've had so far.
Okay. My number two, that's where we're at. Yeah. This was tough. Is Captain America Civil War.
Okay.
I was going to go Winter Soldier, but it was very tough. But I went Civil War because I feel like it does so much for the Marvel Universe in general. Like Winter Soldier, amazing movie, love it. But Civil War sets up so much of what came after that. And it was just such an entertaining ride, such a fun ride, just a good, enjoyable movie with a whole bunch of characters.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of Marvel options that you could have picked from. Civil War, definitely. I mean, the Captain America movies in general, I would argue probably the best three movies in Marvel. Like, even if you stack them up against like the Iron Mans or the Avengers or anything like that, I think it's the most consistently good movies. So taking one of those sequels makes a lot of sense. I think if I were to pick between those three, I'd probably would have gone Winter Soldier, but I don't think Civil War. Honestly, it's like an A and B. Like they're both right there.
It really is. Really is.
That's a really good pick. I like that one. I like that you went Civil War instead of Winter Soldier because I wouldn't have thought of it.
Yeah. I like it too. I steered clear of the entire MCU just kind of like for that reason. I wasn't sure how I wanted to narrow it down, but
yeah, there really wasn't another option in Marvel wise. I mean, there's obviously other options, but like nothing that was like needs to be on my list, but like,
sure. There was just 25 other options.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I said, and Civil War is such a big storyline in the comics too, that they didn't follow exactly by any means, but I think they did it justice. The overall arc and theme of it, at least. But yeah, I mean, it sets up so much. It's following a great sequel and it doesn't let you down.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised that you didn't go Infinity War.
Yeah,
because if I was going to pick between the last two of like the big initial arc, I think Infinity War is better than Endgame. And it's like, it's basically Rising Action, the movie, where like everything is coming to a head. But yeah. I totally understand, like I said, picking one of the Captain America films, particularly Civil War. Like, there's a lot of wrong choices among the MCU of sequels. This is not one of them. This is a really good choice.
What I love about it is that it's still Captain America's movie, but you have 15 other characters in it. Yeah. Where the Avengers movies, like, you get everyone and it's awesome and it's great. But they did such a good job of, like, introducing characters in this, bringing characters back. And then, like, Bucky the Winter Soldier is, like, you know him, but now, like, hey, he's different. Like, they brought in so many characters, and yet it was still Captain America's movie, and you were still following him.
I know a lot of people would say Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark or Chris Hemsworth's Thor are their favorite Marvel characters from the MCU. Absolutely, Chris Evans is Steve Rogers. Yeah. I think he's 100%. By far the most not even necessarily the biggest journey, but just the best portrayal of a character in Marvel.
Well, the way I see it the most is like current Iron Man and Thor have followed Downey and Hemsworth. Like they fit the role, and then they've like the Thor and Iron Man since then in comics, whatnot, have followed what they did.
Sure.
Where Chris Evans was what Captain America's always been.
He was Captain right. America. Chris Evans yeah. was Captain America.
Comics.
Just was.
Like yeah. from the onset of the character, you were like, this yeah. is the guy. And I didn't expect that. When they cast him after coming off of Fantastic Four and other stuff that he'd done, I was yeah. like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
From like minute two of that movie, I was like, okay, this is Steve Rogers. Like, this is I'm who in. It's going to be for the foreseeable future. Yeah. Good pick. Like it. Like a lot. Okay. My second to last pick, my fourth pick is a sequel that's also kind of a reimagining, that's also kind of a reboot. I'm going with Creed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Michael B. Jordan led sequel to the Rocky films.
I almost did this. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
There was my draft list. Point in my brain where I was going to say Rocky IV, just because Rocky IV is my favorite of the Rocky films, and it's also basically just a music video montage as a film. But in reality, Rocky IV is probably like the second or third worst Rocky movie. Like in reality, it's just not that good of a movie. Creed's an incredible movie, and it's an incredible sequel. Basically, as good as Rocky is, I mean, it's an Oscar. I don't remember if it won the Oscar, but it was an Oscar nominee when it came out. Creed is right there on emotional beats. It's such a perfect modern retelling. It's got incredible fights. It's got an incredible soundtrack. It's so much better than I expected it to be when they announced it. And I thought it was going to be just a shameless cash grab. Like, it's an incredible movie.
I 100% agree. I'd probably categorize it more as a reboot, but that being said, it was on my draft list because it did what it was Rocky for the modern day without being a cash grab. It wasn't a shitty retelling. It was really fucking good.
It was a new story, and it like paid homage to the original Rocky series. And yeah, it was like
exactly
I remember when they announced that this was like in the works, and it was well before they knew the name of the movie or anything. It was just like a Rocky 7 project was yeah. being developed, and it was like years before. And it was just like, holy shit, Sylvester Stallone's still doing this. Like, what is this movie going to be? Is it just going to be like fighting in a retirement home? And like,
which I would watch.
Yeah, I would go at midnight. But no, it turned out to be, I'm like almost going to say, one of my favorite movies. I love Creed. It's great.
It's fucking great. I need to watch it, to be honest. I need to watch it again.
You guys have probably, I don't know the last time you guys were at a movie theater, but if you've been in an AMC theater anytime in the past couple of years, they have that Nicole Kidman ad that plays beforehand. That's basically like her encouraging people to go back to the movies. And she's talking about like the sound and the feel and the food and the environment and all that. And at one point they have a bunch of movies like La La Land comes up on the screen. And at one point Creed comes up on the screen when she's talking about the emotion of films, and it's him standing over his opponent from that movie and like pounding his chest. And I like, it's a commercial, and I get legit misty eyed, and I get like a frog in my throat because of how emotional I remember that scene being. And like him in between rounds in the corner, beat to shit, talking about how like he doesn't understand why his dad didn't want him, shit like that. And this isn't me talking about any of my own stuff. This is just like, obviously not, but it's just such a really raw moment from such an incredible actor between him and Sylvester Stallone, like Michael B. Jordan, obviously. It's definitely up there as like one of my favorite movie scenes of all time. And a fucking commercial can get me emotional when I see it happen.
I was going to say, as you start talking, like, Michael B. Jordan, I mean, just absolute phenomenal actor. I mean, all the time, just fucking great. Wallace. And Tessa Thompson, fucking love her. Phenomenal. Yep. And Sylvester Stallone, I mean, is he the best actor? No, but he does what he needs to do. And that's his role.
And like, he has gravitas. Like, Sylvester Stallone's on screen in a good film, and you're like, even if he's got the fucking mush mouth, whatever the hell, you're hanging off every single word because he matters.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great, your best pick so far. Great fucking pick.
I'm going to disappoint you when we get to my next one, but let's circle back to Andrew.
You always do.
Well, I'm also going to disappoint you with my number one, because it's a Batman sequel that you did not want on yours. It's The Dark Knight. You know, clearly the inferior Batman sequel.
As long as I don't know if people would argue that. I don't know if people believe that.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. People love Batman and Robin. So, I mean, and everyone has been given homework by Thomas to go watch it. So, I don't know. What can I say about The Dark Knight? It's one of my favorite movies. I think it's one of many people's favorite movies. It's Heath Ledger's Joker. It's Harvey Dent. It's a good sequel. It makes you not even need to watch the first one. I mean, it's definitely not the one, and not Dark Knight Rises, you know?
Agreed. You do not need Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. I do not need Dark Knight Rises.
I actually kind of like Dark Knight Rises, but I acknowledge it's like not a good movie in comparison to either Batman Beyond or
it's still one of the best superhero movies ever. It's just compared to the first two, it doesn't even remotely. It's not in the same category.
Absolutely love The Dark Knight. It's phenomenal film. I mean, through and through. There are times where I almost put Batman Begins above it, just from a Batman fan perspective, just like seeing that story. But like The Dark Knight, like there's not much negative to be said about it other than everyone likes it. And so it makes me not want to like it, but I do. I love it. It's a great fucking movie. Obviously it's Batman and Robin, but whatever.
I like that you didn't mention this for this episode, but oftentimes, I think it's you, Andrew. Maybe it's you, Thomas. I don't fucking know. Memeability is one of your categories. I don't know if there is a singular movie that has launched more YouTube videos than The Dark Knight interrogation scene. That movie came out in like 2008. YouTube was like two or 3 years into its existence. That had to have been like spoofs of the interrogation scene were the top page of YouTube for a year. Like still see shit from that.
Yeah.
Was it Pete Holmes who did it with College Humor or Funny or Die maybe? There's one that sticks out to me. It was just like absolutely fucking
Pete Holmes did the bad man character, which I think is College Humor. And that's the one where he's like, he's torturing a clown in the wrong room.
That's
Pete Holmes. That was a long time after
that was years later.
That was just him doing Batman content. You can still make good Batman content based on The Dark Knight, outside of how fantastic of a film that is. Andrew, fantastic pick. Like I said at the beginning, I'm glad that you didn't give this away. This was going to be on my list, ended up not being. Great pick. I have no problems with this pick. But in terms of memeability, you're up there.
So I have to come clean. I think Thomas was the one who started memeability. I don't remember which list that was from. It might have been from DCOMs. It was a long time ago. But I kind of took it and ran with it. So,
if you had not said that, I never would have known that it was me.
That Thomas has at some point in his life memeability is one of his picks. Okay.
Yes. And when you use that as a criteria, it's like, holy shit, that could apply to almost every list we do. I want things that are memeable. And honestly, going back to Dark Knight, I think that's why I do like Dark Knight Rises, is because I think it's very memeable. It's not necessarily a good movie, but I just think Tom Hardy's pain and like his voice and like all of it is just memeable. And
that's another
one
that people still do. Yeah. I mean, 10 years later, the movie came out like 2012. Yeah. A full decade later, people still do Tom Hardy Bane voice and crack themselves up. I don't know if they crack other people up at this point, because again, we're a decade in, but yeah, it's still a meme. Good pick, Andrew.
I hate to say it, but
good pick.
I truly never 100 years would have said that I was the one who said memeability first, but
we'll have to check the tape. But I know you.
It was
said
in an
first.
Early episode. It was like episode 3 or 4. I think somebody said memeability as one of their criteria, because that was back before we'd be like, yeah, we all have different criteria.
Did we have a list where you put Shrek on your list, Thomas? Because I feel like it might have come. From
I literally
Shrek.
Just changed to it.
Many good things come from Shrek.
I think for
anime
fantasy films? Places we want to live or whatever.
Got it.
Shrek was my number 3. I don't know about memeability. We'll find out. Great pick, solid pick. Not surprised. Much like Two Towers, I knew it was gonna be on someone's list.
Yeah.
The three
there
movies
are
I knew.
Some definitive sequels. I think if we were probably 10 years older, Godfather 2, Aliens. Oh, yeah. Like there's a couple. Yeah. There's a couple that would have been on everybody's list if we were a few years older.
You look at my list I had for the draft, and the majority of them are like, I mean, like they would have been picked by someone other than like Batman and Robin. Okay.
Yeah. My number one. I don't think no one was going to take that one from you in a draft.
My number one is, I'm not counting the New Testament, is the first book of our list. And it's a prequel, still count as sequels. I looked it up. It's a prequel slash like sequel slash parallel story. It's Ender's Shadow.
I actually thought that's where you were going when you were saying a prequel. That's a sequel. Yeah, it's a good one.
Prequel sequel to Ender's Game, which is one of my favorite books. And
Ender's Shadow. Could also call it a companion piece.
Companion piece. Sequel. Ender's Shadow is a phenomenal, in my opinion, a phenomenal book that follows a character you already know in a way that doesn't feel like you're hearing the same story again, and then you get more story because of it. Ender Shadow.
Yeah, great pick. One of my favorite books, one of my favorite book series, one of my favorite authors, despite his abhorrent views on...
Shitty dude, good writer.
Yeah, the LGBT community. Orson Scott Card, fantastic writer. Some of the most definitive books that I read growing up. When Ender Shadow came out, I bought it. And then I loved it so much that I literally like got every subsequent sequel for the next decade, basically the morning after the day they came out. So no beef with you on this one. Bean, great protagonist. Ender, great secondary protagonist, which is super interesting because he is one of the most famous book protagonists of all time, but he's a side character in Ender's Shadow, which is really cool. Man, that's a good pick. Surprising pick, but a good one.
You guys are gonna hate me. I haven't read it.
That's not that crazy.
I love Ender's
from your
Game.
Face.
Yeah,
from your face, I thought you were gonna say either you hadn't read it or that you were like, it's not a sequel.
Well, no, I'm also just tuning out because we're getting to that point. My attention span is not very high, but
I'm gonna reel you back in. I'm gonna reel you back in.
But no, I'm glad we got a book on this list, and knowing how good Ender's Game is, I'm sure it's great.
No, if
we already had a book on this list, what are we fucking talking about?
Yeah.
No, it's a phenomenal book. And if I cared about votes, it wouldn't be on my list, but I don't care about votes.
True to yourself.
Votes. They said roads. And
I also don't care about roads.
Yeah.
Okay. I off road.
Yeah, dude. Bikes, not cars. Okay. Yeah. Good pick. I like it. Andrew, thanks for bringing nothing to the table on that one, but I'm a fan.
It's what I do. It's what I do.
Oh, that's what I hear. Okay. Before we do my number one pick, I just want to reiterate part of the definition that I read to you guys earlier was something that takes place after or as a result of an earlier event. And so
look at the time I have to go.
I say that in preparation.
So a sequel to now could be like 8:34 PM by that definition.
Could it? I don't know if 8:34 is a direct result of 8:33. I was like, why'd you go 3 hours ahead? You're on a different time zone than me. That makes sense. My number one pick, which you guys might like less than World War II, is Griffin Queen. I'm a sequel in my own goddamn family. And honestly, you guys both are too. So I'm kind of surprised that you're not on your own list. But at the same time, I'm not surprised you're not on your own list because this is the height of my insane behavior when it comes to these lists. And also just when it comes to my life, my family is from what I've heard from my mother, they wanted a boy first and then they wanted a girl, but they got a girl first. My darling sister, who is fantastic in every way. And so they were like, yeah, we got to try again. A direct result of them trying again and my sister being the first child was that they had a boy, this motherfucker. And now here I am on this podcast. You guys are not enthused. I'm incredibly enthused. Number one pick, Griffin Queen.
Andrew,
pew, pew, pew.
Andrew, you want to do recaps and get out of here?
I don't want to be on the podcast anymore.
Respond to me. Validate me, people. Validate me.
No.
Okay. So let me just clarify one thing. Are you the sequel to Taryn, or are you the sequel to your parents? What?
I'm the sequel to Taryn.
Okay.
How would I not be the sequel to Taryn?
I guess I can't argue your argument that you're a sequel. I just don't want to validate it either.
Sure.
Or you for this insane list you've put together.
Read that definition one more time.
Don't read it.
There's two parts to the definition.
I know that
or recorded work that continues the story or develops the theme of an earlier one, which in you could argue that I'm a published work.
You're not a recorded work.
Yeah, no one would publish.
I said published. I'm kind of a published work. Currently, quite literally, I'm a recorded work. The other definition, if you must know, is something that takes place after or as a result of an earlier event, aka the disappointing birth of my sister.
Okay.
I'm not even angry. I feel nothing for this. I feel nothing.
I don't think that's true.
You're right about
I'm mad at myself for not thinking you were going to do this, and I'm mad at myself for joining tonight. I should have gone to bed.
Yeah, I blame Thomas too. You Griffin, you are right about one thing though. World War II is looking pretty good. Looking pretty good now.
Oh, okay.
Testament, I'm so not sure about.
Let's hit them with the recaps and let's get out of here.
All right.
Because no way we're topping or bottoming out even more after that one.
All right. So my sequel list was number 5, Shrek 2, number 4, Pokemon Gold and Silver, number 3, NFL Street 2, number 2, Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, and number 1, The Dark Knight.
Awesome. Thomas?
Great. That's a great fucking list.
It was a good list.
5, Shrek 2, 4, Batman and Robin, 3, Toy Story 2, 2, Captain America, Civil War, and 1, Ender Shadow.
Also a great list. Right before I do mine, I want to say real quick, do you guys ever run into the issue where you've ordered your list before the pod and then you change it while you're going so you forget your new order?
Did you fuck up your order?
No, I think I'm pretty sure I know what it is. I'm just like, I have to read basically in a weird staccato order now.
I do that. I usually put in notes. I type in a number, like if I change it. So that
sure. That's smart. That's what an intelligent person would do. I didn't say that I'm the smart sequel. I'm just the sequel. Number 5, Empire Strikes Back. Number 4, World War II. Number 3, the New Testament. Number 2, Creed. Number 1, me, myself, and I, Griffin Queen.
What a weird fucking list.
It's a weird fucking list.
Hold up, guys, real quick. I just flipped back my notes to look for memeability. And on January 15th, 2012, I had a list that was best sequels.
Oh, my God.
It must have been for Facebook.
It must have been for Facebook, yeah. 2012 was like the peak of the Facebook.
Can you read it?
My list, yeah. I wrote it down.
Wow.
It's only 4.
Do you take notes on everything, or did you recently put this in your notepad?
No, this was when we were first starting List Night, and we were looking for ideas, and I was looking at old lists. So best sequels, number 4, Terminator 2. Didn't even think about that today.
Great one. Fantastic one.
Number 3, Two Towers. Number 2, Empire Strikes Back. Number 1, Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This was best sequels.
When we were doing it on Facebook, we were like openly in front of people trying to win and get the most likes and all that. And like,
No, we weren't.
I think so. We were not trying to win among each other.
It was never about winning. It was about, hey, what you're saying is dumb.
The engagement on Facebook was fun because you would get a notification. Like, it would be like 60 people commented, and it was like the same 3 people, but like 60 comments on my list about Starburst flavors. So,
yeah, I wish we could have people call into this despite it being a recorded podcast that we post 2 weeks after the fact.
Give out your phone number and just let them call you whenever.
No one wants my phone number.
But glad
what they
it.
Do want to do is make sure they click like on YouTube, make sure they click subscribe if they have not done so already, make sure they share this with their friends. You know, maybe, honestly, I'd say this is a good episode to share with your friends so that they know to never hang out with me because clearly I'm a terrible hang. If you're watching on or listening, excuse me, on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anything like that, like I said at the top of the show, click the follow button, rate and review. Again, also share this with your friends. If you listen to this on your drive to work, if you listen to this in your cubicle, if you listen to this while you're ranking your own favorite sequels, you know, share it with people, tell people about it. It's nice to have somebody reach out to us and be like, hey, I like the podcast. That always feels really good. Anything from either of you before we get out of here?
Yeah, somebody go back and find out who said memeability first, because now I'm genuinely curious.
Okay, yeah. Elliot, since you're the only person that's going to do something this insane, go find out which of us, between Thomas and Andrew, it wasn't me, said memeability first. I think it was in our first six episodes. That's how I feel like that's accurate.
I guarantee
it. I don't think I would have come up with it.
He'll respond on Twitter within an hour of us posting this episode. So good call.
He might respond in an hour of us getting off this call.
I'm pretty sure he watches these at 2x speed so he can, you know, enjoy them quicker. So that's a little shout out for you, Elliot. You know, keep listening to the pod. Keep sharing it with all your friends in Florida. With that, sequels podcast done. List night done. See you guys next time. Unless Andrew and Thomas don't want to do this with me anymore, which is entirely possible.